This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that, that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Peraton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Peraton.
And welcome again to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is the form shadow, Emilio Dinello. This is our full-time show, our initial reaction show. And I'm going to call Fulham's embarrassing loss to Sheffield United. It was a 1-0 loss, but they scored in the fourth minute. And they held on to win this match. I'll give them credit, but I'm going to tell you right now, Emilio, I thought Fulham lost today to an average side. I think they're going to be an average side. I know people predicting top six. We'll see. I want to give them full credit. But you know what? Fulham got what they deserved, which was absolutely nothing. So, Emilio, I'm going to go to you first. Give me your opening thoughts here.
Well, why did we bother turning up to the game tonight? We've braved the cold weather, all this COVID nonsense that's going
on. Right.
Having to prove you're vaccinated. Wearing masks, you know, in the stadium, and you know, for that performance, that was awful. That was woeful from the first whistle right to the last whistle.
Yep.
You know, freezing my ass off in the car here at the moment. So I'm actually Fulham shadow is back tonight. I'm not standing outside. You'll be glad to know, but it's
right.
I don't know. Why did we all bother? To be honest, that performance was very, very woeful. Average performances, yep. Poor performances throughout. And I agree with you, Sheffield United. Okay, they got relegated with us last season. Very average team, but they had a game plan like most teams are having at the moment. They've got a game plan against Fulham.
That's right.
These teams are proving to be successful. They're not giving us any space. They're pressing.
Emilio, we've been figured out. I can now say that.
We have. And we need to change that very quickly, because what was a commanding 9-point lead, I think it was, for an automatic
it's
promotion.
Three, my friend.
It's only three now. So look, the pressure's on. Christmas fixtures coming up. COVID risks, you know, with players, you know, dropping like flies potentially. And you know what? What can you do? It's, you know, I braved it, as you know, not that many people out there tonight. You know, it was midweek game on television, COVID, Christmas, you name it. A lot of reasons for people not to turn up. But for the brave few that did, I think we all deserve a gold medal for that, because that was a woeful performance and one I want to forget.
Absolutely, Emilio. And let's just start here, because we will talk about man of the match at the end. But I just want to just give full credit to you, to all the Fulham supporters, for what they had to do just to get to Craven Cottage to watch that and to actually sit through that or stand or whatever they did to just deal with that. You know, again, I give them so much credit, everyone that showed up there and gave it their all to support Fulham Football Club. Mm-hmm. Let's just do it right now. Man of the match goes to the Fulham supporters.
Yeah, absolutely. That's who the
man of the match goes to the Fulham supporters. Let's not waste any time on that. I was going to wait to the end. Let's not waste any time. Man of the match, Emilio, is the
fans.
Supporters.
The fans, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. We've got the gold medal. It's, you know, we've gone, end of the day, it's my very first game watching Fulham all those years ago. It was 42 years ago. I was at home to Sheffield United, ironically, on Boxing Day 1980. And we beat them 2-1. Gordon Davis, one of our guests on College Talk, he scored a goal that day. So, Gordon, if you're listening, I do remember you scoring against Sheffield United on Boxing Day all those years ago in 1980. But, yeah, unfortunately, we weren't able to do the same tonight. We needed you. We needed you tonight, Gordon, and Rob, for that matter.
We definitely could have used Gordon in this match. Maybe Rob as well. Yeah, maybe Rob we could have well, used both
absolutely.
Of them.
Absolutely. We needed their qualities tonight. And, yeah, we just looked lackluster. We looked slow, sluggish.
How about predictable?
Tired, predictable. Yeah, all these adjectives. We did look very predictable. And, you know, all fairness to Sheffield United, they scored very early on. We should have defended that a lot better. Let's be honest. You know, defensively, we were nowhere. Tosin, you know, I've seen the replay. Tosin was nowhere to be seen. I thought Rodak could have done better, but, you know, I've been told Rodak wasn't at fault. You know, maybe it was a good shot, good strong run down the middle, no tackle, nobody pressing there.
It was a free ride to the goal.
And it wasn't wasn't a strongest shot on goal. It's quite a tepid shot, if anything. Bottom corner. I thought Rodak could have done better, but then I haven't seen a replay, so I don't know what fans think. Am I being unfair to Rodak, or could he have done better?
Well, let's go right there. You know, Emilio, I've seen a couple of views of this, and if you're watching live, feel free to share your thoughts. Do you put Marek Rodak as the person to blame for this goal? Obviously, the Fulham defense opened up like a chasm, and I just walked right through it. And it wasn't this hard, crazy shot.
No,
the announcer, the announcing crew, I had the announcer I had basically said it was this tremendous goal, Emilio. I don't know if I would call it this tremendous goal. I would just say it was a good goal. It wasn't a goal of the season goal.
No,
but I have to ask the question. I'm asking the question. I've seen it a few times. And the announcer said, do you put some blame on Marek Rodak? So I don't know. I put a lot of blame on the fact that he had a free ride to take a shot here.
Exactly. For me, obviously, I'm side of the pitch. So all I can see is a surging run down the middle. Nobody putting in a tackle. Nobody getting their bodies in front of them. And you know, and that was also a story of tonight. We looked a lot more lightweight than Sheffield United. And it was quite telling tonight. But overall, but then when he connected with his shot, there wasn't a lot of power on that shot. It was in a good position, you know, low in the corner. But I'd like to see the replay from behind the goal. Could Rodak have done better? Or at least get closer to the ball? But
I'm not sure about that. I would like to say yes, Emilio, but I am still more concentrated on how Endai just basically waltzed his way towards the penalty area and then took a shot.
Yeah, too easy, right?
Too easy. You know, so again, that's a good point for us to start on. And Emilio, just in general, because I was going to say poor first half, we could also say poor second half. But what's interesting about watching this, and after they scored the goal, I thought, okay, plenty of time, Emilio. Fulham will get their stuff together and really just take it to Sheffield United. And again, what I watched, and this is full credit to Sheffield United, they were comfortable defensively, not just in the first half, but in the second half. But if we're talking about the first half, I'm watching the ball go to one side to the other side. It's very predictable. And I want to give Heckenbottom a lot of credit because he really worked a way to take away Harry Wilson, take away Kenny Tete, make us beat them in the middle, and we couldn't do it. We just kept switching side to side, and they were doubling up on Cabano. They were doubling up on Wilson, and they had a very good game plan. We could not break them down. So that is a credit to Sheffield United. But the bigger question is, why couldn't we adjust to what they were doing? It's not earth-shattering what they were doing, Emilio.
No.
And again, you get to halftime, and I'm thinking, okay, we're going to see a change. We'll talk about second half in just a few minutes because he does make a substitution. You know, we'll talk about bringing on Tom Kearney. But the first half, just poor, Emilio. Is there anything positive to take out of the first half? I'll say the one positive to take out of the first half is that it ended.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what was the only – it was a snapshot from Mitrovic, wasn't it, about 20, 30 minutes into the game. That was the only not half chance of note, you know, half something chance. Out of nothing. Half but chance. Other than that, that's it. You know, all they kept doing is they got that early goal. They pressed us. They were time wasting from early on. So a bit like what Bournemouth did a couple of weeks ago, you know, get that early goal. And they were like time wasting and time wasting and time wasting. And, yep. you know, they were pressing us. They were pushing us back. So again, opposing teams are sussing us out now. You know, Cabano yep. got little space.
That's the bigger issue I have.
You know, Cabano's been our most productive outlet from out wide this season. He's been out of the game and not been a shadow of himself the last few games. It's not surprising to see, but the fact that we've scored few goals in the last five games, Cabano not being shining, where's our wit? There was no wits today, for example.
Right, and Robinson that's what had I was an awful talking first about. Half.
Kete, I think, was one of our better players today, but again, wasn't really being, didn't have the freedom to push forward. It is the Sheffield United players kept just pushing us back. They were physically stronger, trying to catch us on the break, trying to get those loose balls. We had no answer. Like you said, all we kept doing is, oops, sorry. I'm in the that's car okay. and it's, you know, let me just hold on a second.
Now you're really dark.
Yeah, I'm very dark now. So, yeah.
You're very dark. The shadow has gone fully dark now. Okay.
So, yeah, and I just, as far as I'm concerned, all we kept doing was get pushing back. Right. And we were going sideways. That's all we could do. Right. We had no quality.
Right.
There's no invention. Right. We were predictable, as we've mentioned a few times. Yep. And, you know, we thought, okay, going at half time, goal down, one goal in it, we can make some changes. I thought he made the right decision to take, you know, to make the substitutions there. Tom Kenny coming up, you know, I thought that was the right decision. But
I agree.
Again, you know, I was saying Steve Reynolds before, you know, half time. I said, take Seri off, put Reed more, you know, sitting back behind the in front of the defence, and see if Tom Kenny can make a difference there. But equally, yep. Carvalho, you know, where was he tonight? Mitrovic was isolated. Carvalho looked a lone passenger. Looked out of his depth tonight. Looked a lot lost, to be honest, like a little kid lost in the park. That's what it felt like today. And, you know, I don't want to just point a finger on him. The whole team just the balance didn't look right. And we were lacking quality in, you know, good technique at the time. Our passing wasn't as good as it could do. And Sheffield United had a game plan and it worked. So, you know, we are being found out. We are being found out. We can't keep defending the team here. Five games without a win, albeit one defeat. But that's not that's anything but promotion form, to be honest. So
This has now become an issue, Emilio. And I just shared this comment. If they're doubling up, it means that there are spaces elsewhere. And I got to tell you, it's a good point because, again, they weren't able to move the ball quick enough or they weren't finding the open spaces because, again, full credit to Sheffield United. I'm going to share some more comments. We've got some really good ones. This is from Tamara. I want to share this. I sit near the cottage and saw the Sheffield goal, and it was so effortless, I was shocked. And again, that's similar to how you reacted.
Yeah, earlier. Exactly. And I think the point for me is these teams recently have been, you know, even this one-to-one marking, they're not giving us any space. You know, the opposing teams aren't giving the respect that we maybe had at the beginning of the season. We had a lot more space. The other teams are sitting back, trying to absorb pressure. These other teams are saying, get at Fulham. Push at Fulham, press Fulham, force the mistakes. And that's what teams have been doing in recent weeks, and which is why we're not seeing the productivity and the points on the board. So game plan needs to change. Silva's got to find a solution very quickly or else that automatic promotion position is going to be at risk, you know, by the time we get into the new year.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And before we talk about the second half, because again, at the very end of the show, I just want to mention we're going to share a very special video that was taken from you that's going to show the ending stages, the ending opportunities for Fulham. And I want to thank Emilio for taking that video. We're going to share that in just a bit. So hang tight with us on that. But before we do that, Emilio, I want to go over some talking points. And let's talk about the talking points. Let's talk about who were the passengers in this match. Because, again, I'm not going to lie. I was hot after this match, and I'm thinking, who did not play well? The bigger question should be, who played well? Because there weren't that many. But who stood out for you as the passengers? I just want to mention this, our Cottage Talk co-host and also host of one of the hosts of the Fofcast, Mike Gregg, was begging for Anthony Robinson to be taken off at halftime.
Yeah, so Robinson.
He stands out. Who else were the passengers? If you're watching live, let us know who you thought were the passengers in this match, because I think it really hurt us.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm going to distinguish between passengers and those who actually got no space or actually didn't get any, like Cabano, for example. I don't think Cabano necessarily was a passenger.
I don't think he was a passenger.
I just thought he was outmarked, two against one, didn't have any space. And, you know, it was quite, there was no other, you know, there was no other outlet other than him. I thought Carvalho for me was a big passenger, or a small passenger, because he's not the biggest bloke in the world, but you know what I'm trying to say, but he was a passenger. I thought he looked lost in that park. You know, he should have, I would have taken him off at half time, but gave him a little bit more time. He came off eventually, and we looked, had a little bit more zip when he came off, when Bobby Reid came on, you know, but I thought Carvalho was a passenger. Harrison Reid, you know, I'm not his biggest fan. Again, it just feels like he's running around like a headless chicken. And this was another game. All he kept doing was running round and round and round and round. What does he actually contribute to the game? So sorry if people don't like what I'm saying about Harrison Reid, but yeah, I'm getting frustrated.
I don't think he was very good at all, to be honest
with
you.
Poor, slow, not strong enough, getting out fought, get out muscled. And, you know, he looked a passenger. Seri, I thought, was a passenger in the first half as well. So there's a few passengers there, to be honest. And, you know, defensively, Ream didn't have his best game. You know, Tosin, I think, could have done, you know, should have done better with their goal, should have defended that better. And so there, for me, were the biggest passengers, in my opinion, to be honest.
Okay. And again, listening to the broadcast or watching it, the commentary was, why are Fulham not being more creative? And I got to be honest with you, they just weren't. And this goes back to, were they moving the ball quick enough? Were they being too patient? Emilio, was it a little bit of Parker ball? I hate to go there. But it felt a little bit like Parker ball.
It did.
I'm just saying, it was the patience instead of the urgency, taking some risks. And Fulham have taken plenty of risks. So here's the bigger point, Emilio, and you and I already talked about, what did you think of our plan B here? Because again, there was a plan B in the second half. You know, again, you bring on Tom Kearney, you bring on Bobby Decadova Reed, and you bring on Mooney's. When they brought in Mooney's, it was definitely a change of shape and everything like that. So there was a plan B. It just didn't work.
No,
I didn't see this seismic change with the substitutions and the way things were going with the change. They bring on Robinson to be more aggressive, right? In when you bring on Mooney's, it just didn't work, Amelia.
Yeah, we had no wits. You know, that's the thing. You bring on your biggest, you know, him, and you know, bring another forward, center forward there, and you've got no wits. You take off, well, Robinson, who had a shocker, but albeit he can come. He's got pace and can get average. So occasionally some good balls in the box. You know, the only other outlet we had wide was Tete. And again, he was being pushed back and didn't have the freedom to come forward at times. So to be honest, you then put Ream as a left back. You put Kenny Tete into central defence. We looked an absolute bloody disjointed mess, to be honest. So that plan B didn't quite work. Tom Kenny coming on for Carvalho, when Tom Kenny came on at halftime for Seri, it was the right thing to do. But Tom, how many times did he touch the ball in that second half? You know, when Carvalho got taken off, right decision.
Bobby
again, you know, Mooney's, you know, I'm still to be convinced, you know, he's given, you know, but there was no service. Where's the width?
No, where was the service, Emilio?
There's no width. So these two guys, it's got two forwards looking for the ball, waiting patiently, and you've got no wide men to get the ball into other than Tete. So to be honest, it's, you know, we've got to go back to the dressing room. They can have their Christmas dinner early tomorrow and get back on the training ground ready for the Birmingham game next weekend. But overall, we just look disjointed, fragmented, and confidence is down. You know, Mitrovic's head is more down than up these days. The goals are not as forthcoming as usual. He had a frustrating day getting no service. And the players, you know, when things aren't running to plan, we're not given the space that we were given earlier part of the season. And, you know, we're struggling to break these teams down. How many goals have we scored in five now?
Yeah.
Is it three?
It's only three, Emilio, which is shocking, right?
Yeah, so... Where's the quality? Where's the creativity? Yeah, where's the plan B that people are talking about? There isn't. At the moment, there needs to be a plan B. If we want to sort of push on in the new year, we've got to find some solutions here. And maybe we need a couple reinforcements in the January window just to give us that chance to get the automatic promotion. But at the moment, the wheels are dropping off quite quickly. And the likes of Blackburn, West Brom are starting to pinch a few wins now as well. And the gap's closing. So it's going to be an interesting second half of the season. We're not going to run away with this league, put it that way. This is what everyone expected 2 months ago. You know, the wheels have come off a bit.
Okay. Emilio, how much of the blame do you put this loss on Marco Silva?
At the end of the day, I think when we saw the lineup, I think most of
us were very strong.
Yeah, I thought we were reasonably comfortable with that lineup. I was comfortable with that starting 11, to be honest. I'm glad to I wanted to see Robinson back on instead of Joe Bryan. So, you know, the fact that he underperformed and was woeful, that's still a liability, that position, that left back position. We've got to think, yeah. You know, there's a gap there. But overall, I think most of us would have taken that starting 11. So I don't blame Silva, to be honest. I just think we're lacking some intelligence in midfield. I don't think we're physically strong enough. I think I'm seeing some of these teams in the Championship stronger, uglier, and we're struggling to respond. In that middle of the park, I think we're missing a physical presence, someone like a Josh Onimer type person, someone who's a bit more of a bully, who's stronger.
We'll see if Chalobah can fit that role.
Maybe Chalobah, possibly. You know, he's not really impressed that much. He had a couple of good games early in the season, but with Reed in there, Seri in there, you know, Cavalio, Tom Kenny, all fairly lightweight, to be honest. I think we're not dominating that middle. Harry Wilson, lightweight. Yep. Cabano, lightweight. So, yes, they've got pace, but generally speaking, our physical presence isn't good enough. And I think teams are fighting their way through us a bit too easy. That goal is a good example. A bit more strength in midfield, you wouldn't have got past that easily.
Right.
So that's a worry for me. You know, so, you know, you need that physical presence, that bit of a bullying, bullying in there. And I don't think we've got that in our squad at the moment. You know, we're easy to bypass, easy to push aside. And the referee wasn't the best tonight. And
no,
some of the decisions.
I'm not blaming the referee for this.
Yeah, you know, Sheffield United were stronger. They bullied us. They were uglier. And, you know, it was successful.
It was successful. It was a winning formula. And like I've started the show, congratulations to them. I would still rather have our side.
Yeah.
And we'll see how they end up at the end of the year. I just see them as a team that could potentially be mid-table. Maybe they make the playoff. Maybe they do. But I see that they are a beatable team, but they had a great game plan. Full credit to them. I'm just going to share some more comments here. Wayne says, you can't blame Marco Silva. Mm. Again, going back to your point on the starting 11, I was all for it. So to his point, I understand that. I'm just thinking more of when things weren't going right, you got to fix it. And we just didn't fix it. Do you put the blame on the players?
And he changed it early, didn't he? So normally I've been a little bit critical where he hasn't made changes at half time. So he made a change at half time, which was the one I called, and it was a right decision to make. But Tom didn't really have any influence in the game, so didn't really do anything of note. So it's not Marco Silva's fault that the players haven't turned up tonight. So it's a lot of it could be. I'm not defending anything here. I just feel that the team looks a little bit slightly devoid of confidence. Yep. We're lacking a bit of quality, but we're lacking physical presence in that middle of the park. And that, for me, is starting to cause problems. Preston, Luton, tonight, Bournemouth. Look at these games. There's a common theme coming here. There's a common theme.
Yeah, I was going to say, Emilio, it's something that we would say about my other team that I follow. There's a blueprint on how to beat Fulham now. There's a blueprint. And now it's on Marco Silva and his staff to basically beat this blueprint and find another way. But the players, you know, again, it's not just about Silva, it's the players. The players, again, there are too many passengers out there. So I'm not going to put all this blame on Silva. I'm just going to mention the fact that we're talking about a plan B. I'm also going to say, and I said this to you off air, you know, I'm now full on board with January. I think you need players. You need central midfielders. Dare I say you need players to leave. And I'm not going to single anyone out, but there are players there, even tonight, that you need to seriously consider selling. And you need players that are going to be part of not just the here and now, but the future. And there are players there that, I'm sorry, man, they're just not good enough. And they keep showing you they're just not good enough. Okay. All right, my friend. Before we end the show, coming up next, I'm going to share a video from the Fulham shadow, and it's going to show you how close we're Fulham to getting that equalizer. Okay, Emilio, and I just want to thank Emilio Dinello very much for taking this video. This video is the later stages of the match. It's probably, about 30 seconds, Emilio? And it's going to catch the opportunity from Mitro, and also the opportunity from Harry Wilson. You're going to see how close it was. So I'm just going to play the video, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Okay, Emilio?
Okay, sounds good.
Here we go.
Someone's
All right, Emilio, there you go. So let's now talk about that. Let me just pull up. So I want to get your thoughts when you were watching that. And again, thank you so much for that video,
Emilio. Okay.
That was amazing. So let's talk about Mitro hitting the post and Wilson goes over the net. And again, I watched it live and it's like, man, that was close. But watching your video, shows even closer how close it was.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's one of those nights, you know, shadow's gone dark again, typically. So, into injury time, into added time. And, you know, literally, that was the moment. That was the moment to pinch a draw. And I don't think we even deserved a draw, to be honest, but I would have taken it.
I don't think so.
You know, in its mid, ball got a little bit stuck on the pitch again, you know, between Mitrovic's feet. And, you know, maybe 6 games ago, that would have been in the top of the net again. Sometimes the connection is not as good as it can be. He didn't hit it as sweetly and cleanly as he would have done, say, 6 weeks ago when he was banging in hat-tricks after hat-tricks. So it's those fine margins, right? So maybe if that occurred back in the end of October, that probably would have been in the back of the net. Middle of December, maybe not so. But it's Wilson for me. You know, you've got to do better there. You've got to hit the target on that rebound off the corner, off the crossbar. But overall, that was our one opportunity in the whole game. That says it all.
Yeah, you know, and that does say it all, Emilio.
That says it all. You know, we deserve nothing from that game. But
no, we really, you know, I can't make an argument to get a point. I can't make an argument here. You know, again, it was a great opportunity, but we're talking at the very end of this match. We're talking about the tail end. So that tells you all you need to know. I do want to share a couple of comments. And Chris, I couldn't find your other one, but he does wish us Merry Christmas. And right back to you, Chris. But he's right about this. When we started the show talking about the fans, there's more important things in football. Let's not get too down about this. Chris, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
We all were looking forward to this match, but in the end, it's not the most important thing in the world. It's our health. It's being alive and being able to survive what we've been able to survive. That's number one.
Yeah, totally agree.
Fulham is a wonderful thing that brings us all together. But you know what? It's most important will always be our health. And I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, Chris, all the Fulham supporters, and you, Emilio. And I think that's a great way to end it.
Absolutely.
Because Chris brings up a wonderful point, and the most important thing is to remember that it's really not that bad. You know, it's a loss. It's not that bad. There are worse things going on in the world.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know what? But what's great about doing this show is that, as you see, all the people watching this live with us, Emilio, around the world, we're all Fulham supporters. We all care about the team. But I think we all just basically the most important thing is that we are a family. And all the most important thing is that I want the family to be safe.
Yeah.
And I want and again, I'll end one last time. Merry Christmas to everyone. I'll give you final thoughts, Emilio.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked off air before we started the show about the most, you know, it's only a game of football at the end of the day. And, you know, the fact that, you know, with all stuff, all these cases in the UK, the number of cases increasing day by day, it is a very worrying situation. But the few, you know, fought bravely to come outside on a cold winter's night. And, you know, I'll still be there, you know, through good and through bad following this club. You know, they're my passion. Exactly. They're my love. 42 years supporting the club. You know, there have been worse days than today, put it that way. I've seen worse performances in lower divisions. So, Chris, I'm sure you can appreciate that as well. So it's, you know, it's a game of football. We'll get better. We'll learn from this, hopefully, and then we can restart, press the start button again, and hopefully push on in the new year.
Yep. I'm just going to share some more comments. And our friend Anthea, all the way in New Zealand. Anthea, always love hearing from you. Merry Christmas, guys. Look forward to Fulham bounce back like after the Coventry game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with you on that, Anthea. I hope we have it. And honestly, I cannot wait for that next Coventry match. It's not to the end of the season. I've got a personal thing with some of their supporters, but I'm glad that you brought that up. Okay. All right. Emilio, thank you so much for doing this. And again, thank you so much for having that video. I'll figure out a better way to share it next time, because I had that comment still on there, but you know what? The video speaks for itself. It was great to do. And we'll keep sharing some other videos as well. It was great. All right.
Absolutely. Well, happy Christmas, everyone around the world as well. Hope you don't be too despondent about the game. It's only one game out of 46. We've still got another 20-odd games to recover. We'll be beating more teams than losing. So let's keep the faith.
Exactly. And before we go, I just want to just give a major thank you to everyone that's actually contacted me. I am taking a break from Twitter, and it's not even Fulham related. There's something that happened over the weekend that just said, you know what, it's time to take a break, a mental break. So I'm taking a break from Twitter. The Cottage Talk Twitter account will still be active, but my main account will not be active. And it could be a long time. I just need to walk away. And as we're talking about, just realize what's important. And it's my family. It's my friends like Emilio and everyone that watches and listens, and the Fulham supporters, the Patriots fans as well. I just need to take a step back. And I want to thank everyone that's reached out to me. There've been so many people that reached out to me. I'm okay. I'm fine. It's just something that I just need to do. I do this every once in a while. I just need to take a step back. So anyways, thank you everyone. Well, it's time to wrap up the show. For the Fulham Shadow, Emilio Donnell doing a great job as a shadow tonight. I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDougal share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.